You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A young man repeatedly got into big trouble. His father bailed him out each time until finally the dad had spent his life savings. A neighbor said to the father, "If that were my boy, by this time I would forget him." The father said, "If he were your boy, by now I would forget him too. But he's not. He's mine." God has that kind of love for you and a whole lot more. His love can lift your life to a new level of joy and meaning. Let me tell you about that new life today.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, the creator of all people and the giver of new life, you alone can perform the miracle of helping people to a clean, fresh start and lifting them to a better way of living. We admit that we need more love, hope, and faith than we have. Above all else, we need the power of your Holy Spirit, the power that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We ask for that power now as we hear your word, that it might lift us to new levels of living. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." A sailor came to the captain of a ship and said, "Sir, our little dog has fallen overboard. Will you stop the ship that I might rescue him?" The captain said, "Sailor, this ship doesn't stop for a dog." The young man said, "Sir, if it were a man, would you stop?" The captain said, "Of course we would." Immediately the sailor threw himself overboard. He swam to the dog and waited for the captain to bring the ship around and rescue them both. God did that for us and a whole lot more in Jesus Christ. He came down into the ocean of this world to save us from loss in sin, and his love is here today to lift our lives from defeat to victory, from death to life. The biggest word in the Bible is not one like Nebuchadnezzar or whithersoever, but the biggest word really is that little word, so, which says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that we might live through him." That's the love of God that can lift your life. One writer shares a story called "What Shall It Profit?" It tells of a man who went to a distant country where the head of a tribe promised that he would give him, for 1,000 rubles, all the land he could walk around in a day. The man was instructed and invited to put his money down on a certain spot and start walking. All the land that he could enclose by his walking before sundown would be his. If all went well, he could be enormously wealthy. The money-mad, land-hungry man started walking, faster and faster, farther and farther, steadfastly all through the day. Finally, the sun began to sink, and in his hurry, he made one last great effort, and he reached the point of his original departure just as the sun was going down. But the effort and exertion had been too great. He fell down at the point of his departure, dead the same day. And there he was buried. 6 feet of earth was all that he could claim. The storyteller's parable is as relevant today as when he first told it. It is disastrous to die or to live for the wrong purposes. Many people today are giving first-rate effort to second-rate causes. They are majoring in minors. They are losing the game of life. Jesus put it this way, "What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What are you giving your life for? Are you living your life according to God's plan? Is God first in your heart? What are you really after in life? A Christian was talking to a non-believer and said, "As I understand it, you do not believe in heaven and I do. Is that right?" The other man answered, "That's right." And the first man said, "And I believe in hell and you don't." And the other man said, "That's right again." So the Christian summarized, "Suppose you and I live out our lives as we are doing. I have found something that gives this life joy, purpose, and meaning. When we die, we learn you were right. There's no heaven. What have I lost?" And the other man reluctantly agreed, "Well, nothing, really." "Now let's turn it around," said the Christian, "and you don't believe in hell, so we live out our lives and die and learn that I was right. What have you lost?" And the man sat up in stunned silence and later asked to be told more about the Christian faith. The Christian New Testament begins with Christmas bells, choirs of angels, and the message of good news for all people. Good news that God cares and loves us and has a plan for our lives. The good news that God is present and is concerned, that He's faithful and trustworthy, that He can be counted on. All of this is embodied in the beautiful picture of God coming in the person of Jesus Christ. The text says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." When Christ was nailed on a cross, that cross was intended for a notorious criminal named Barabbas. Barabbas long dreaded that day of execution. When the authorities came to his cell, however, they came to him with good news. They said, "Barabbas, you are a most fortunate man. Jesus of Nazareth is going to die in your place. We have orders to release you." On that fateful Friday, Barabbas the criminal was set free. He was cleared of all charges and was saved from the death he deserved. That would have been wonderful, even if Barabbas had been the only one saved. But the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, and that means you too. Did you know your name is in the Bible? You say, "Well, my name is Johnny Jones or Mary Smith. I don't see that name in the Bible." Well, if John Jones or Mary Smith were in the Bible, you'd wonder if it weren't some other Jones or Smith elsewhere in the world. No, God makes it clearer than that. Your name is in the Bible. It's in that wonderful word, "whosoever," in John 3:16. The Bible says, "God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Isn't that something? Now, this giving of God for you really cost Him. His own Son was consumed with the fire of judgment on the cross. Forest rangers know very well the value of the burn back in fighting forest fires, as they call it. To save an area from being burned, they simply burn away all the trees and shrubs up to a safe distance. And when the fire reaches that burned out line, the people standing there within the burnout area are safe from the flames. Fire is thus fought with fire. The cross of Calvary of Jesus Christ was the cosmic fighting of fire with fire, of Christ taking on Himself all our sins and allowing the fire of sin's judgment to fall on Him. The area around the cross where believers stand has become a blessed place of refuge for all who would escape the fiery judgment of sin. He who takes his stand in faith at the cross is saved. He can never come into judgment and destruction. He is in God's safety zone. To get to that place, the human being must repent. St. Peter says, "Turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of your Lord." People never find the refreshment and the happiness that they want until they repent. The Bible says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him." In 1912, the finest and safest vessel that had ever been built, the so-called unsinkable Titanic, struck an iceberg and sank with virtually everyone on board. The staggering fact is not that the ship went down, but that she went down after 15 hours of radio warnings, her engines at full speed, her bands playing, passengers dancing, and apparently not too many people giving serious heed to the total disaster just ahead. God invites in the Bible, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." God warns and God invites. He does love you and has a plan for your life. Our blessed Lord showed mercy while he was here on earth in forgiving sinners and receiving the outcast. That same Lord will also receive you, no matter who you are or how often you've sinned or what evil you have done, if you come sincerely in Christ's name to repent. Come to him this day and say, "Lord God in Christ, forgive me. Put me on the path of righteousness. Cleanse me from my sin and give me strength to live my life for you." In the Depression, there was a poor farm family that didn't have enough money at Christmas time for each one of them to get a present. So they decided together that they would chip in, father, mother, little son Willie, on one present that they could all use, something they never had before. They looked in the mail order catalog and decided that they would buy the family a mirror. With great joy, they pitched in their money and sent the order off to the company. The day before Christmas, the present arrived and they proudly hung up the mirror. When it was up, father was the first to look in. He looked in and he smiled with satisfaction. Mother looked next and she giggled. And then little Willie looked in and he cried. Willie cried because he was seeing himself for the first time as he really was. Willie had been kicked by a mule as a young child, and his face was badly scarred and disfigured. When he saw himself in that mirror as he really looked, he wept. And he turned to his mother and put his arms around her and said, "Mother, did you know all this time that I looked like this?" And she put her arms around him and said, "Yes, Willie, Mother knew. I saw you just as you are, but loved you all the time because you're mine." The mirror of God's law shockingly shows us as we are. We look up to God and say, "You mean to tell me that you knew I looked like this all the time?" And he says, "Yes, I knew, and I loved you just the same because you're mine. Mine because I made you, mine because I redeemed you." The Bible says you were not redeemed, that means bought back, with corruptible things as silver and gold, but you were paid for with the precious blood of Christ. The Scriptures say, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Since God is like Jesus, nothing is too good to be true. God's love can lift your life to new levels of purpose and meaning. Today, Jesus is your Savior. In the future, he will be your judge. Some time ago, a young boy was riding down a hill on a go-kart. Just as he was about to be struck by a car, a man threw himself in front of the car, saving the boy's life, while the man himself was severely injured. The boy who had been spared grew up to a life of evil and crime, and years later was taken before a judge for sentencing. The judge walked into the courtroom, and the boy noticed that it was the same man who had saved his life. He thought, "How lucky I am. This man saved my life once before, now he'll save it again." But the man, now a judge, pronounced the sentence and said, "Son, there was a time when I was your Savior, but today I am your judge." Today, Jesus is your Savior. In some tomorrow, he will be your judge. Are you prepared to meet the judgment of Jesus Christ? Christ said, "If you are not with me, you are against me." You can't stay neutral about Christ. You're either with him or against him. Are you standing up for Christ in your life right now? God's call in Christ is going out day and night to people all over the world. It may be a visit. It may be a radio broadcast. It may be a tract, a personal word, a sign on a billboard. It may be a deliverance from sickness or a narrow escape. In all cases, a faithful God is calling you. The God who invites you to his life of purpose and meaning is holding out his hand of invitation to you today. Christ promises, "He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." The Bible says, "Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Truly, God's love can lift your life. Some time ago, I was heading back to my home by airplane, and it was a foggy, dark, and difficult night. Visibility was extremely limited. We longed for the security of the ground. We strained our eyes for light, for a sign of life in the runway. And then there came over the radio a reassuring voice. Someone was watching us on radar. Someone knew exactly where we were, had his eye on us, and was ready to guide us in. On the ground in the control tower, this voice plotted our pathway over a series of towns and then to the final leg of our landing. And we listened with calm assurance to that voice that guided our plane until we heard the welcome sound of the tires on the runway. Someone who had his radar eye on us had talked us down to safety. That's what God does for his people. God speaks through his Bible and through the word of his living Son, Jesus Christ. "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," he says. Christ is with his people now, and he is coming back at the end of this age. This Jesus Christ, whom God made manifest, showing his love to us through him, is coming back again. Once he was despised and rejected, but at the end of time, every knee is going to bow before him. In the past, men mocked him with their tongues and cursed him with their lips, but in the future, every tongue will say that Christ is Lord. When the world's skies become darkest with evil and disbelief, then we will see the coming of our Lord, and we will hear floating down from God himself the notes of the great triumphant song, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God all-powerful reigns. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ." You better believe it. The Lord is going to win, and his people will win with him. Christ says to everyone, "Whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." Have you done that? You can do that right here today. You can say, "Lord Jesus Christ, my life has been confusion and loss. I am tired of giving first-rate effort to second-rate causes. I am weary of life without you. I want you to be my Savior, and I accept you as my Lord. Let me go with you the rest of the way." And he will. It was a dark and stormy night, and a little child was lost in the streets of a great city. Crying in distress, a man gathering from the child's words enough to locate her home gave her some rather elaborate directions. He said, "Just go down this street half a mile, turn and cross over the big bridge, then go to your right, follow the river a little ways, and soon you'll see a store. You go up the hill to the left, and that's about where you live." The poor child, unhelped by the wordy directions, chilled by the wind and bewildered by the rain, was turning around in confusion when another voice spoke. And this man, whom she knew, said, "Why don't you just come with me?" The little hand was safe in a stronger one, and a corner of a warm coat was thrown over the shoulders of the shivering child. The way home was made easy for her. The first person had told her the way. The second had walked the way with her. You and I do not need any more bewildering directions from the philosophies of men. We need somebody who has walked this way before. Someone who knows the way home, and there is only one, and his name is Jesus Christ. Fear and indecision can be gone from your life. Joy and assurance can be yours. The Lord himself wants to go the rest of the way with you. Will you let him? Will you let God's love lift your life? If he is for you, who can be against you? We know that neither death nor life nor principalities nor powers shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. is the way St. Paul puts it. Lift up your heart, for there is a wonderful life to be lived, a great Lord to be loved, and a beautiful eternity to be had. Make sure you get it all. God bless you. Amen.
Been listening to a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. If you have found this message helpful for your life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Mass Media Department of the Lutheran Layman's League.